Blog Talk Radio.
Broadway is very difficult. Of course, you know, I did that one-man show back in the early 60s, but yeah, most kids, they come to Broadway, and they were all, you know, they were big hits in their high school shows, and, you know, they sang at VFW halls and, you know, old age homes, and they really want to try it, and they get there, and of course, all their dreams and aspirations are smashed to pieces, and they end up waiting tables and then return home to Ohio, never to try it again, so...
Yeah, well,
I mean,
you of course, that isn't your story. You had...
No, but although certainly a lot of broken hearts on Broadway when I was there, but, no, mine was a little different. But before we get into that, you know, I know you had difficulty finding Frank this week because, and I forgot to let you know about this, but, you know, I was trying to secure this juggler for our European tour, former Soviet Union spectacular return tour, and I mentioned this guy down in Pennsylvania, he's a professional juggler. He juggles antique Civil War cannonballs that we talked about before, and he also dresses up like Abraham Lincoln while he's doing this, and of course, while he juggles, he recites the Gettysburg Address, but I had to book this guy, and I couldn't get Frank to go down there. By the way, we're changing Frank's name. We're going, going to really pick up the pace a little bit for this tour, and Frankie from now on will be known as Frankie Fabulous. And Frankie Fabulous, I put him on, you know, we always go first class. Right after the show last week, I put Frankie on the on a Trailways bus, gave him a bottle of water and a package of pretzels, and I sent him down to Pennsylvania to get this guy straightened out, make sure we can book this guy before someone else scoops him up. You know, there's a lot of call for this sort of thing. Frankie, I hope you did book him because I haven't talked to you since you got back. Is he in now?
He's in. He's looking to get the right beard for the Abe Lincoln situation. He can't grow a beard. The guy's kind of like a little... Andy-ish. But so anyway, he's been looking for the right beard, and once he gets that, we got him locked up. There are other people. There was almost a line of people trying to.
I'm sure everyone knows this tour. You know, everyone's auditioning, but I want to make sure he went for the deal on the scale plus a couple of my comedy albums.
Yeah,
he's going to work for that.
and also some gift certificates to McDonald's.
No problem. We'll take care of this guy. We'll take care of this guy. Also, one more thing before we get on with it. After last week's show, and you're going to talk a little bit about the incredible excitement you garnered on YouTube, I did get a call from a Muscatel manufacturer, and we're in negotiations now. He'd like me to endorse the product, and they're even talking about putting my picture on the back of a Muscatel bottle. I'm very, very excited about this. I could make literally hundreds of dollars out of this, and we'll see how it comes out. But, Tom, you take it away. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I know you were...
It's great, this update. It's true. The we were able to get the soundtrack off the show last week for all the listeners that we do have. And, you know, go to YouTube and just punch in or type Buck, Tommy Dakota, and up should pop the
Tommy
video.
Tommy Buck Dakota.
Yeah, Tommy Dakota. And I... And also, I you know, you had a problem with one of your followers who, once he saw the, we have to warn the audience that there was a trailer before the actual dialogue of a show, and that trailer was of The Bronx Tale. And somebody, you were telling me last night, Tommy, somebody went in there and
said, "Oh, I got the wrong one. This is The Bronx Tale. I don't want to watch this." And...
Yeah, that was one of your followers. He clicked off.
Well, he's also had extensive brain damage, but you know, he couldn't figure it quite out. So all you had to do was wait another 30 seconds, and he would have seen
Yeah, well,
that
I went in last night, and before I put a title page. You know, we had to class this thing up. I forgot that I was dealing with somebody of your caliber and your following. So I put in a title page, and I get some credits at the end. So I'm warning people not to click off, and that, you know, we intentionally put The Bronx Tale in there because there was a great scene of people doing buck-buck.
Absolutely, and a genuine scene of people doing buck-buck. I happened to be online and saw some other buck-buck sites on there, and these people didn't know what the game was. They were playing buck-buck in the middle of a gym. I mean, you just have a bunch of people bend down and get jumped on. I mean, they had no idea what this game was about. It was very disconcerting to me, and I sent them a nasty email.
The other thing I noticed is that they, you know, they did it correctly in The Bronx Tale.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, they were, jumping right on and staying right, like riding a horse. I mean, I think that's kind of was the appeal to us as kids. It was like, you know, the Lone Ranger and the Cisco Kid. It was the Cisco Kid more than anybody, I think, used to jump, you know, put his hands up on the butt of his... Was it the Cisco Kid?
Right? Yeah, and Pancho was...
Pancho. You know, Pancho once gave me a big kiss at a rodeo once when I was a little kid. I remember it very well.
He did that to a lot of kids.
Yeah. I got... after I did that, I got mononucleosis, but I was so thrilled. He was a big star. I was a little kid. You know, what the hell?
That's all you got was mononucleosis.
Well, yeah, it's true. Well, now he'd be arrested for doing that, but it was... I remember that vividly. And everyone was... Not everyone, but a couple of people I got in touch with were slightly offended by me saying that the main purpose of buck-buck was to inflict as much pain as possible. And what made it really interesting was it wasn't like we played teams from other cities or other neighborhoods. This game was all played with your close friends, and they thought it was kind of dumb to have a game where you try to inflict as much pain as possible on some of your best friends. And I said, obviously you didn't grow up in the city.
Right,
so
right.
To all those people, I say, go watch public television. But,
well, again, yeah, and it was, yeah, go watch Julia Child. Masterpiece.
I'm making something with oregano today. It's an Italian spice. I don't really use it much myself. I love Julia Child. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, yeah, I mean, what better way to work out your aggressions? I mean, because, you know, minor conflicts would come up. You know, some kid that, you know, that you felt cheated in a game of marbles. Remember marbles?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You guys
didn't play it in the dirt there. We played it on top of a manhole cover. It's true. True.
That
absolutely did.
Yeah. But the problem is, but most of us had lost our marbles.
Yeah. Well, some people played it with the manhole cover open, but that didn't work out at all.
See how we lost our marbles?
Well, there was a couple of different games of marbles. You're right. There was the one where you drew the circle and you knocked the other marbles out, but wasn't there one where you had to get it in the hole or something? Or was am I thinking of later in life?
No, that's probably something you saw in a porn movie or something. I don't know that at all.
There's
a lot of games where the object was to hurt someone or hurt something they own. We used to spin tops when we were kids. And these are the tops that they had a point on the bottom, and you'd wrap the string around the top, and you'd throw it, and it would spin. And we'd all do that together. And the one whose top stopped spinning first would have to leave his top on the ground while the rest of his friends threw these very sharp pointed tops at his top, just laying there in hopes of breaking it in half. And, of course, that would send the kids home crying as well. I mean, it's not like we had a lot of money.
And it split right in half.
It was a terrible game. But
well, before I forget, leading up, this is something that's been troubling me since last week. I wanted to ask about was the tones of violence in all of this. But remember a similar game in terms of destruction and strings and all of that was chestnuts. You remember the
chestnuts?
Killer?
No, you got me on that one. Where did you grow up? Chestnuts?
Well, yeah, in Roxbury we had chestnuts. You didn't have chestnuts in the West End.
No, we didn't. We prefer to call it Beacon Hill, by the way.
When all the chestnuts fell and we would pick them up and we would take a shoelace, which doesn't exist anymore, because everything is Velcro, but we would drill a hole and put the shoelace through there.
We did. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, you did do that.
Well, we'd take a key, and the key was the best instrument to go through the chestnut, and then we get a piece of string and tie one on each end and make like a bolo, you know, like the gauchos used. You used to throw that at each other, and, you know, that would send you home crying as well. But you made a game out of it, actually?
Yeah, it was a single chestnut that you dangled. One, you held it in your hand. You held your chestnut. The other guy had his chestnut on a string.
No,
you
kept my hand on my chestnuts.
Not the same chestnuts. But you would whack the chestnut, and then the other guy, once you took one whack with yours, then he took another whack with his. And the purpose was to break the other's chestnuts.
Chestnuts. People have been breaking my chestnuts for years.
And they had, if you had a, it was like the old gunslinger days, you know, you got a reputation, a notch in your belt. Well, that became a one killer if it killed one. So some kids had 9, 10, 20 killers, these things.
I never saw that where I was growing up. We played with those chestnuts. We'd have to go up to the Boston Common where they had chestnut trees, and they had those big prickly outer coatings that you had to pod that you got the chestnut out of. But we never used it for a game. That's very interesting. I'll have to add that to my repertoire of games to make your friends cry.
Yeah. You know, is this going to be the first book, Tommy Dakota's book of children's games to make your friends cry?
Yeah, this might be. It'd certainly be less violent than Grand Theft Auto and all these other computer games these kids play. At least we were outside being violent as opposed to sitting in the house and being violent.
What a cultured little group you guys were. You had the common as a playground.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the garden. I mean, that's, you were trumping on turf reserved for Paul Revere and John Hancock and Ben Franklin. I mean, no wonder.
And the rest of the Boston Brahmins, which we certainly weren't. But they love to see street urchins, you know, those people.
Kind of gave it a Dickens flavor.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then
we got even with most of these people at Halloween. Of course, we'd go trick or treating on Beacon Hill. Only the better homes. We knew the difference between the rooming houses and the mansions. And they were. You know, it's funny. We go to the worst parts of town and just get piles of candy and all kinds of just wonderful things. And we go to these homes on Beacon Hill. This is a long time ago, certainly. we'd ring the bell and trick or treat, and they were very nice, but they always gave you junk, real crap. I don't want any of this stuff, you know.
Well, LeBron, they give you an apple. Remember the apple?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I don't want an apple.
Right. You know, we wanted a Milky Way or a...
Yeah,
you know,
or money, even better. Give me some change.
Yeah, that was fun. When you got to the place that threw a handful of coins in that they had taken out of the piggy bank, that was
I always liked Halloween, too. I remember I was living in, living in Las Vegas quite a while ago when I was living there. And when Halloween, I wasn't prepared for Halloween that night. I just didn't realize. I'd been working hard. I didn't realize it was Halloween. And my bride was not at home. She usually took care of the Halloween kids. I usually, just swore at them and told them to get off the lawn. But she used to give them candy. And so these kids began coming. I wasn't prepared. There was some candy in the house. And I wasn't prepared for the volume of children that showed up. And they came and they rang the bell and I had some candy. And some more came and I gave them some candy. And some more came and I gave them some candy. And then they just kept coming. They wouldn't stop. And I know I'm running out of candy. So eventually I ran out of candy completely, and I said, geez, they're still coming. I don't know what to do. So, of course, I went for the change purse, and they started giving out quarters and nickels and dimes, anything I had. Then I ran out of money. They started giving out dollars, and then that ended real quick because the next nomination I had left was, like a 10. I said, well, enough of that. So I went to the refrigerator and found some little bottles of Pepsi Cola. And I started passing those out, and that didn't last too long. So by this time, I've shut the lights out on every room in the house and hoping they won't come anymore because they're just incessant to hundreds of kids. So this time, it was starting to get dark, but I ran out of my last Pepsi, and the very last young man and his sister that came to the house, they both got cans of Franco-American spaghetti. And the kicker was the following year, these people came back, and when they just got candy, we were prepared for them. They said, what, no Pepsis, no money,
no Franco?
Well,
the Franco-American probably put a kibosh on the whole thing.
They should have sent me money for promoting their product.
Yeah, well, hey, one of the things that, I got a lot of questions because the YouTube thing is really taking off. People were really concerned about the, of course, today's, sissy world that we have. They're a little concerned about you throwing urine in other kids' face. I mean, that was pretty, to me, very ingenious.
Well, it did get me this endorsement contract with this Muscatel company that I'm working on.
How are they going to...
Along with being industrious.
Are they going to use
real... it didn't kill him. It wasn't like it was hydrochloric acid and it burned their skin off or blinded them or something. It was just a little urine in the face. Couldn't hurt.
Yeah.
They stopped doing what they were doing, I'll tell you, when they get hit with that stuff.
Now, is Muscatel going to actually fill the bottles for you with urine, or is that going to be artificial?
No, but they are going to make sure, because they can do this now, the Muscatel will look distinctively like urine. It will be yellow and as opposed to
Muscatel.
Well,
artificial.
Yeah. So it will be it will look like a bottle of urine and have my picture on it. And Tommy Buck Dakota here recommends this, and I think it's terrific. I've always wanted my picture on either a milk carton as a missing kid or a bottle of Muscatel.
Well, this is a dream. We're so glad that all of this has resurfaced and gets your renaissance. So, Tommy Dakota.
Well, I got to thank you for this. I was in semi-retirement. I just did an occasional gig, but this show is kind of giving me new life. And it's nice to hear from some old friends again as well. And I haven't talked to in a long time and reminisce about my troubled youth and my troubled teens and my troubled adulthood and my troubled older age.
Well, I got troubles. Hey, listen.
Can't ask for anything more. Yeah.
Now Frank mentioned this morning. I was a little concerned.
I thought it was I got rhythm, not I got trouble.
Okay. The fact that you were you're feeling a little overworked, feeling the burden of being a star again, and the I'd like to put it out to the listeners. Why don't we take a survey? I would, you know, this week we have to, we missed a one. We had a little family problem last week, and we couldn't do one, so we, so we had to do one. So we're playing a little catch-up this week.
Uh-huh.
And Frank said that that, you know, is a little bit of a strain on Tommy Dakota at this point. Is that true? I mean, we do
I think
have
it might be a little more of a strain on Frankie Fabulous than Tommy Dakota. Are we talking about doing like a couple of shows this week, two or three shows? Catch up?
Well, you know, I'm just trying to get myself around that term, Frankie Fabulous. You know, I heard that that's what they say. I'm just trying to get around that.
Around it.
Well, we'll take a meeting and we can discuss it.
And why is it Frankie Fabulous instead of Fabulous Frank? I mean, I like Frankie
Fabulous. No, it's Frankie Fabulous.
Yeah.
Fabulous Frank is just not right. You've, you know, marketing is my forte, of course, and I've been naming stars on Broadway and the movies on stage and screen for 100 years. I used to get like $2,000-$3,000 for naming people like this, and I'm doing it for Frank, who, you know, does little, if anything, for me, and I think you ought to be proud to be called Frankie Fabulous. I mean, he's got to have a name that means something, you know, not, you know, Frankie Schultz or Frankie Crowboyne or any of that. It's Frankie Fabulous. He's a big-time agent. I mean, he's handling Tommy Dakota once again. He's taking us all to the former Soviet Union for a whirlwind tour of the communist nations, or former communist nations. God love the commies.
Hey, you know,
he's a very important person.
You know, now that this has come up, why don't we, you know, have our own sort of Tommy Dakota Olympics and challenge the Soviets? Well, we can't call them that anymore, but challenge the Russians to a good game of buck-buck.
Well, yeah, you know, I bet the gulags, they already play this anyway, and they probably have for years. Yeah, I could do a research and see how they – I bet they play it a little differently, though. I got a feeling there are weapons involved, but that's just me.
Mm.
But let me see if I can find out, do a little research.
You know, we could also – I'm sure we could have leagues here in the Americas. You know, when we did the research after the show, and, you know, at least I did, and I found images of people playing. They actually do play dodgeball.
I think there's a problem because it would be called the NBA, right?
National Buck. The National Buck Association.
Anyway,
you play this game, if you play this game with teams, you know, professional buck-buck players, I mean, it was bad enough playing with your friends and doing the bodily harm, but can you imagine if you're playing with strangers?
Well, yeah.
I mean, they might change the whole game around. They could take the purity out of the game, and instead of just, you know, jumping on people and beating them with your fists and your body and your legs, I mean, they might, you know, be carrying brass knuckles, might be loading their pants with rolls of quarters, I mean, for different reasons than usual. And
yeah,
it's become a really brutal game.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, as I looked at the pictures, if you, you know, you see these pictures, archives of buck-buck games, and, these, you know, you're very close to a person's anus. So you have to trust that there's a certain level of hygiene.
Well, once when Frank was playing, he was the end man, and the last jumper literally drove his head into the rectum of the guy in front of him. And, again, that was another trip down the Mass General to have a kind of a headectomy to get his head out of there. And, you know, from then on, we said Frank always had his head up his ass. But it's a true story.
Else. Well,
where the term came from.
I think we should get a van with a, you know, buck-buck, you know, one of those stenciled buck-buck things all over with a thing, and head down to Provincetown in Ogunquit and start. I think this would go over great. This would have great appeal for the citizens of Provincetown in Ogunquit, and start the first game.
Might be nice to get together tea to meet new friends that way. It could be.
Well, I mean, it's an intimate game if you're hugging somebody's butt, you know, as they were. And then you get to do the whole jump thing. You know, some of the pictures, the kids, like I said, in the Bronx Tale, they were doing it correctly. They were landing upright. It was very clean. It was very well
executed. Yeah, they knew how to play. Obviously, they knew how to play.
Some people just lie flat on each other, you know, I mean.
Yeah, no, that's because they, you know, they have no balance. This is a game of balance and coordination, and it's not only you have to leap as high as you can and land astride the farther up toward the front you jump, because you have other, you have other teammates coming after you, so you need to leave room for them. And this pig pile that I saw on the net isn't a buck at all.
You know, there's an adage that we don't get old because we don't stop playing because we get old. We get old because we stop playing, and I'm thinking,
you're such a wise man. You must be a sage.
Well, yeah, sometimes. You know, it depends. You know, if I find something
magi
good on Facebook,
I'm impressed.
Then
I'm impressed
that.
With that. I'm going to write that down.
That was
straight out of Facebook.
Well, the point I'm trying to get to, if you stop mocking me for a second, I don't want to get, let the audience know that. Frank, could you jump in here a little bit and straighten this out?
All right. Calm and calm. A relationship, and I know sometimes.
Okay, I apologize. I get a little sensitive once in a while.
Okay. Go ahead, Tom Hayes.
All right. Well, thank you, Frank. What I'd like to do is let's investigate. We could maybe go to one of these conferences they have on seniors, and they have all of these people talking about physical fitness and,
I wouldn't go to one of those. It's like death.
Why would you want to go to one of those? Do something new. We can have buck for seniors.
No, I think due to incontinence, the incontinence just might be a bad idea.
Incontinence would be an issue.
You want people jumping on your bladder when you're 75 years old?
Of course. We could get the Pens to sponsor this.
The line of clothes.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, line of clothes to wear while you're playing buck.
Yeah, those things are. I don't know if you've ever had one of those on, but they hold about 50, 60 gallons each. Those damn things. They come in handy if you have problems,
Depends would certainly sponsor this little baby.
Dr. Frankie Fabulous, because he's worn them before after they extracted the thing.
Game of dodgeball for seniors. I mean, that's another one. Yeah. Ring around the Red Rover would be great.
We call that Relievio. Relievio is more of a hide and seek kind of game. We were talking about last week was actually Red Rover.
Well,
Red Rovers, and Tommy.
Yeah, so the memory bank has been, stimulated with all of this. Last night a phrase came to me from way back yonder. Ollie, remember this?
Ollie, oxen free.
No, we didn't say that. That was the silly kids or the rich kids up the street. No, we didn't say Ollie Ollie oxen free. It's hey, everybody, come out. Hey, it's time to go home.
Hey,
by the way, if you started playing dodgeball in a senior home where people are over 75 years old, and good chance you'd be you'd be charged with murder on more than one occasion. You can't be hitting old people with balls,
It would border on the inhumane, as they say. Everybody up. We're playing buck. Here we go. How many fingers do we have? Now, Tommy, I just started to think, you got involved with crime, not yourself, but you hung around, let's face it, the Rat Pack certainly had connections to the underworld, as they say.
That was real stuff. Yeah, that was real stuff. That wasn't any petty
it wasn't overt, but the fact that you would think of throwing urine into other kids' faces at an early age, that's very clever. That's very terroristy kind of.
Well, it was always natural. It came very naturally to me,
So you fit in now, but you were, last time you had kind of talked about, it was all, you had a situation, that you did actually get involved in some illicit activity. Somebody put you up to going into some building, a back of a restaurant or something?
Oh, you're talking about the big heist of the early 50s.
Yeah.
I mean early 50s. Yeah, yeah. Oh.
You want to relate that right now?
I could if there's enough time.
For this story, we can go over a little bit.
Well, I'll be glad to tell you. I always like to hang out with the kind of the big guys, It just seemed more interesting. They were older. They did more things. They didn't have to be in as early as me. So I always like to hang out with the big guys. And, of course, the bigger guys weren't too thrilled about having little kid following them around. So when they did let me hang out with them, they, of course, would make me pay for that privilege by doing a number of things. For example, and my brother and my cousin, even though I was taken away from my family very young, you know, I did have a brother, and he had a, we both had a cousin, and they kind of were the same age, and they tortured me most of my life when I was still in Boston. And for example, one day I was running around, and I had enough money, and I bought a pack of cigarettes, because what could be more big-time grown-up than smoking? I don't know how old I was then. Let's see, maybe 7, 8. So I got a pack of cigarettes, and you know, I just started taking them out one by one and smoking them, and down come down the street comes my brother and my cousin, and they always, you know, blackmailed me for anything, and they took the cigarettes from me, took them away from me, and you know, said, "Hey, I'm gonna tell everybody that you're smoking, and your mother's gonna beat you up, and your father's gonna beat you up." And I mean, that was a pretty good threat when you're that young. And so they took the cigarettes from me, took just about all of them, so they could smoke, and then gave me the cigarette pack, and I put it back in my pocket. And about 4 seconds later, the firecracker that they had snuck into the, I'd lit firecracker, which they put back into the cigarette pack, was now in my pocket, and it blew. It blew up. It blew my pants half off. It gave me like third-degree burns. And the problem was I couldn't say a blessed thing without getting in a lot of trouble. And that was just one instance of torture by these older kids. But the one you're talking about.
Yeah.
We were wandering around, and we were down these alleys, and down this alley, and down that alley, and actually we were close to the courthouse building in Boston, and there was a bunch of buildings there, and we were on the back side of them, and they all looked pretty deserted. In fact, these two guys with me, the older guys, you know, so these are all deserted buildings, and they told me as a little kid, you know, there's a lot of stuff in these old buildings. You might find it interesting. So we had to, like, crawl along a ledge. And since I was the smallest one, I was the only one who could do it. So they sent me down this ledge, which was a couple of stories high. And I admit I was a little frightened. And then I got to a window and pulled it down. And they said, "Well, go in. And, you know, might be some good stuff in there. And go in." And since I was just the one small enough to do it, I go into this building. I was terrified. Not because, you know, it was an empty building, but an empty building was full of, you know, all kinds of ghosts and all kinds of terrible things when you're that small. So they sent me in this building. I'm feeling pretty good because I jump into a room. It's all full of all kinds of stuff. I found some boxes of fancy silverware and lots of pictures and decorative pieces. And what especially caught my eye was this great deer head, beautiful deer head. Mounted, hanging there, and I pulled it out, passed it out to them. They took it, pulled out a whole bunch of stuff, gave it to them. Out they went. We all went home. We had all this stuff, and this deer head went home with me. And my father at the time said, "Wow, this is really nice," and he cleaned it all up and he hung it in the hallway. And I'm thrilled to death. In fact, some of the other stuff we got was some of it was valuable, and we, you know, we sold some of it.
Well, this often an inner city kid can come home with a deer head.
Well, I just told him I found it. Somebody threw it out in the garbage. I mean, there's always great garbage in the city. But the point was that we kept going back to this place, kept taking more and more stuff out. And when one of the last time, in fact, it was the last time, I'm in there and I'm being quiet and I'm taking all this stuff and I'm passing it out. And I see a little glimmer of light through this old door at the back of the room that I'm in. And I walk over to it and look between the crack and realize that I'm in the back of a restaurant that's fully functioning. I've been robbing the back of a restaurant, thought I was in an empty building. I was mortified. I was terrified. Ran out of there, never went back. But the worst part of the story is that those two guys, my brother and my cousin, they blackmailed me for years after that. And every time they wanted me to do their bidding, and I'd say, "No, I'm not going to do that," they'd they'd start singing, "There's a deer head on the wall," meaning they were going to squeal on me and tell my father they stole this out of the back of a going concern, a business that was in a restaurant doing great business. And it was terrifying, and they taught me a valuable lesson that, well, I can't say the valuable lesson because it was it's a little dirty statement, but these bastards, I got even with them eventually when I got when they were a lot older than I was, which wasn't too long ago. So I never forgot it, and I got even with these guys.
And how
but
did you do that?
I was so terrified. I was like, any time that, you know, there's going to be a knock on the door, it's going to be the police department dragging me out for not one robbery, but multiple felonies for keep calling into this place, emptying it out. I should have known better, but, you know, you're a little kid. Your kid look up to these big kids and assume, you know, they know what they're talking about. I tell you, I was never more frightened in my life, except the one time I was on stage.
That's the bad side of that story. But the good side was when you did get involved with a bad element, Frankie and his boys, you were used to it.
Yeah, well, the good side of the story is actually that that deerhead's still in the family. And to this day, nobody knows how we got it other than thinking I picked it up in the garbage. The deerhead is still around.
All to be passed on as a legacy to other generations. That's great. Well, Tony, that's our time. This was a fabulous little chat. You know, we're getting into the day. It's still early,
all this would be in the new book I'm writing about my life. And I appreciate the opportunity to talk a little bit about some of these great stories. Of course, I'm telling them quickly.
And of course, we talked about the fact that just to let the listeners know and pique their interest, there's a possible Facebook page coming up. Yes.
Coming up very shortly. I've got my people working on it. Of course, we're running out of space. My biography is so long and interesting that they're having a little difficulty fitting it on there. But I expect to have that done within the next 30 to 60 days, I think. I'll have to call those guys and get them going today. I'm writing it, of course, but I have these technical guys because, you know, I can barely make new TVs work. Nor do I want to learn about that stuff. But
comes
in handy.
We've got a couple of promises this week to, again, keep people interested. This is a big week. A lot of strain on Tommy this week. Three shows this week.
Yeah,
and tomorrow
this week. Yeah,
we'd have a surprise caller. And then on Friday, hopefully, Mr. Jordan Rich of WBZ, radio personality, hopefully he's going to be keep his word and call us, and we're going to have a great show.
I'm looking forward to insulting him.
Yeah, it's going to be great. He's got quite the voice, quite the radio voice.
Yeah.
Tommy, thanks
so much.
I'm
not a voice, of course. I'm not a
voice.
I'm a personality.
All right. Stay well, and, you know, in Maine, you know, if you do come across a deer, you know what to do.
That's right. That's right.
All right.
It's good to talk to all you guys.
All right. Thank
you,
folks, for tuning in. This is Frank and Tom from 955 East Broadway, Boston, Mass., City Point, USA.
02127.
That's right. And let's see if we get a little Beantown music.